T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to WEEI. Megan Ottolini here, joined by Andy Hart and Nick Fitzy-Stevens. We have been spending almost the entirety of the show on this great Boston Herald piece all about what went wrong, how it went wrong with the Patriots this season. To sum it up, two quotes here. It's always been about winning and doing what's best for the team. I really believe Belichick when he says that. I think he just really didn't understand how hard it was going to be. Or in the words of another source, quote, "I love Coach Belichick, but he effed us." Never thought that I would read that from someone in or around the Patriots organization.
So can we take a new look at that? Because I agree with the player. His decision effed you.
That is undisputable.
You're assuming that's a player?
Or coach.
Okay.
Sure. Person. Could be a coach. Person. Human being. Ball boy. I don't know. Don't get me off track. So do we think Bill legitimately think this was going to work? Or was this what some people are floating as a
tank ruse, job?
Tank job. Wasted season. Whatever the other option would be. Because I do think he thought, and this is where you get into ego and hubris, that it would work.
Yes. I believe that.
So yeah, I go with the arrogance. He had the arrogance about it.
But he didn't F you, like, I'm going to show all these players, well, I'll waste a year of their careers.
People F people inadvertently.
I didn't know where that was.
You slipped and fell on a...
People who F people are the luckiest people.
I mean, as they said in the Muppets Take Manhattan, Ryan, people's is people's.
Oh, we understand.
Thank you.
In the Muppets, they said... People F people.
Yes. I was going to say they
people
F them up.
F people. Yeah, there's no chance that Bill Belichick purposely tried to tear the team asunder or that he tried to tank this all. Like, this wasn't like revenge for Robert Kraft making him trade Garoppolo, as some national voices may have speculated earlier today. This was not to drive Max Price down so that they could, like, if he has a bad second year, build him back up third year, he'll look like our franchise quarterback, but we won't have to pay him $50 million a year. It's not Bill Belichick also just, like, making sure that he, like, does something to Robert Kraft because he hasn't allowed him to spend cash because they're 27th in cash spending. He just honestly believed this would work. He was wrong.
So I would, whoever this person is, the source.
You can call it whatever you want. If you think it's a player, call it a player.
You more comfortable saying you people?
You, like, pounced on me.
I've just said, oh, you think that's a player. Yes, it sounds like a player, Andy.
It does. It sounds like a player. So
he says he effed us. I think it sounds like it's coming from players.
I would change the S to a P.
What?
He effed up.
Oh.
He didn't target effing you.
Yes.
Are we saying effing too much?
Nope.
Okay, but, like, he effed up.
Foul letters.
He made a mistake.
What a bad letter.
Like, don't you think that would be a more appropriate statement? I understand the emotion of the player. He effed us this whole season, blah, blah, blah. But he just effed up. He made a mistake. Just like Jacoby Myers effed up when he threw the ball across the field to Mac and Chandler Jones took it.
Ramondre,
I would say,
effed up.
This person might look at that and say, he effed us. We could have won that game. No, he effed up. Just like all of you have done at some point during this season.
Broadcast?
Well, yes, us too. We effed up. Like, so am I wrong to, like, spin it that way? Is that PR?
I get what you're saying, and I agree with it, but doesn't that speak to the sentiment of, if you're thinking this is a player, the players? It's not he screwed up, it's he screwed us.
Yeah.
You screwed us out of a good season, man. Like, we were coming off with the same free agents, high-priced, same quarterback going into his second year, could have gone further. I don't know if that's realistic because the Bills were always going to be there, but it seems like reading this story, they feel that way.
So this reminds me, just thinking back on it, remember when there was the report, the Miami Miracle, with Gronk missing the tackle, that whole thing, that Brian Flores was responsible. And he stood up and said, basically, I effed up.
I'll wear that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, does Bill need to do that? Or is that just accepted?
He won't ever.
I didn't say need to.
He should Bill do that?
Do you feel like he needs to?
Should he? Yes. Will he? No.
Look, he's never going to do it to us.
This is Belichick's fault.
No, I don't care about us.
In front of the media.
No, I mean them. Does he need to stand up in front of that room of 90 men whenever they reconvene? Because he knows, looking out at those faces, which one of you said it? Which one of you said it?
Going to be a lot of new faces in that room, though.
Yes, so, but some might still be there.
Speaking to that sentiment, we asked Karen Garigian just...
I know it was you, Fredo.
A half hour ago. If you missed it, check it out on the Odyssey app. Great interview, I think. You can judge for yourself. But we asked her, how excited are players or coaches to work with Belichick next year, given the judgment that he showed this year? Here's what she said.
I think that the players, still believe in Coach Belichick, but I think it was a surprise to all involved that he would go down this alley. And again, that he kind of underestimated the situation, or that he stuck by his claim of, well, a good coach can coach offense, that there's like no distinction. He underestimated what it went into to be a play caller, to teach offense, and it just backfired and blew up in his face. And, they were late to, adjust and adapt. And again, and it was hard, it was just a bad situation for both the coaches and the players to have to deal with.
So it sounds like Karen thinks it's the arrogance path. So I'm putting those words in her mouth. She said underestimated. But I also wonder, from your guys' perspectives, how much of this is a product of Bill coaching with McDaniels for so long, where he doesn't have to use that part of his brain on that part of the team? He has talked about different times where he would go up to McDaniels and about to make a point, and McDaniels had already made the adjustment.
Point. Correct.
And was already there, And so it's like, okay, I haven't really had to dedicate myself. Not saying he didn't have any hand in the offense, but he didn't have to have the heavy hand that he had to this year. So he underestimated how much was going on that side of the ball.
But this has nothing to do with the offense. This has everything to do with the decision who you put in charge of the offense. Like, I don't know what part of the brain you're talking about, but the part of the brain that everybody talked about Matt Patricia taking over the offense, everybody said, terrible idea.
That's the logic center.
Yes. Well, yeah. You tell me Belichick hasn't used his logic center in a few years? Like, I understand where you're talking about. Like, he wasn't able to fix it. The plane was crashing and he wasn't able to pull up on the stick. He didn't have enough power to do that. Why was the plane crashing? You made a simple, obvious, easy off-season decision, right? Like, there was not this, it's not like it was 4th and 2 and I got to make a decision right now and, oh my God, I screwed up.
Oh my
okay,
God.
That's different.
It's 2nd down. There's 30 seconds left. I don't like the way, Seattle's sideline looks.
This was January, February. Mm-hmm. Josh McDaniels left. What are you going to do? Like, there's time, there's options, there's people.
But twofold. One, Josh made it look so easy for so long and did such a great job.
That's
being
what I'm
intuitive.
Saying.
Yeah, 100%. I'm dovetailing off that completely. He made it look so effortless for so long. And Josh was such a great compliment to everything Tom and Bill did that he may have, I'm not going to say done the organization a disservice by making it look so easy, that perhaps Bill, in a moment of weakness or in a blind spot, thought, well, how hard can it really be? I mean, Josh made it look so... I know, it's a mistake. Josh made it look so easy. And then he trusted the football minds of these guys too much. Like, well, Josh did it. I mean, Josh came from the defensive side of the ball. He worked there for
Let
a few months.
Let me take it a step further. How much
it's a
of,
massive mistake.
How much of these guys' success does Bill think is Bill?
Probably a lot.
How much of it is Bill? And I'm not saying this against him. I'm just trying to suss out how he made this illogical decision. How much of it is Bill thinking, well, I put these guys in good positions. I'm a good judge of a good coach.
No doubt.
And I'll coach him up as a coach. I'll manage him and I'll make him the next McDaniels.
Probably a lot of it. I mean, he's a human being and he sees the results. They go to other places and they fail miserably. So how could he not a little bit of him?
Yeah, they try to do Belichick impersonations. And also, to finish that point, perhaps Bill, as an innovator, Bill always trying to be ahead of the curve. 2006, they don't have enough points. They don't score enough. They don't have wide receivers. He goes and gets Welker, Moss. They're one play away from being legends. Getting the two tight end sets, changing the defense up every couple of years. Like, they've done great things every couple of years. And maybe thinking about going to the Alex Gibbs, Mike Shanahan rushing attack and changing up the offense a little bit might be the right thing to do. The problem is you brought in the wrong guys, so we have no idea if it was the right idea for this personnel and on this team, because they brought in the exact opposite, people that had no experience engineering this kind of offense.
That's where I get back to some of it was logical. Maybe going in that direction with the offense and the blocking scheme, logical. You're seeing it have success in the NFL. Maybe simplifying it was logical because you're seeing other teams acclimate young players more swiftly, more effectively. That was all perfectly logical.
But they're all half-baked ideas.
No, the illogical part is you hired a damn defensive coordinator to run the offense. It's as Curran said, and one guy was offended on the text line, you hired a plumber to build a house.
Yeah,
nope,
the whole
hire
thing.
The plumber to plumb the house that the carpenter builds.
Hey, my car broke down. I'll take it to the plumber.
The plumber did actually say that a plumber could build a house, but a carpenter could not do the plumbing.
How's that work? Is he going to build you a house out of pipes?
That'd be a strong house.
Never seen a house
call
toilet?
In. I've never seen a toilet house. If you have a toilet house, call
kidding?
In. 617-779-7937. You live in a toilet. Let's go to Charlie in Boston. Charlie, you're on.
Hey, this whole thing, I think that this was from the beginning of the season. If you guys ask yourself, like, did we have a shot at the Super Bowl? Like, after the end of this, you know, was it 2021? I'm getting all the years mixed up. But, like, we really, like, Mac was going into the second year. Did we really think we were going to beat the Bills, the Chiefs? Like, I think Bill was looking at, like, the window. And, like, this wasn't our window yet. So he went out and just brought in Matty P. And we didn't do much spending in, like, you know, free agency. And I think this year was the year that he's going to take serious, because he probably thought or hoped that, okay, we get the real guy, we get Billy O back in, right? And now we have a bunch of free agents we can go after, and we'll try and maximize this window now. Max going into his third year. So I think this was another just kind of not a throwaway year, but it was like another like see what we got with Mac year. Like, is he the real deal? Because you don't want to put a bunch of pieces around a guy that stinks, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know.
You also don't want to put stinky coaching around a guy, but you did.
Charlie. This is the guy who just a handful of years ago was the no days off guy.
Now it's
and
seasons
now he's
off.
Taking a season
well,
off?
It's also
are we,
do you, yeah.
What is
no
happening here?
Days off.
I understand.
It's a fireable offense, in my opinion.
I understand the theory you're trying to put out there, but did he have a personality transplant? Like, what are we talking
well,
about?
Also, Mego, I can't tell you how many times at this point now. I feel like it's like redundant to say, but another one of the mantras there at Gillette Stadium is. Do your job. Okay, Bill, if you keep telling us...
New mantra, what's my job?
Yeah, no, just do your jobs. Because for some reason, even though Belichick preaches the idea of don't go outside of your coaching, we're going to tell you one thing to do and just do it. You know, like Will Fork always says, two-gapping, maintain gap discipline, all that kind of stuff that's super boring but wins football games for them. Why do people like Matt Patricia have three jobs?
And, your job!
Because another mantra was... The more you can do.
Well, can they just pick
that
a mantra?
That was an old mantra.
Pick one.
Right? That was a mantra.
That was too. The more you can. Right.
Yeah,
that's
the more you
qualifying
can do.
For special teams.
Oh, Julian Edelman can go to defense. Troy Brown can go to defense. Oh, you can play special teams. Marcus Jones can play all three phases. The more you can do.
But well, not at the same time.
The more you couldn't do.
You lost your offensive line coach midseason because he was so busy trying to figure out how to make Hunter Henry not run into Jacoby Myers.
Plus, he wasn't really an offensive line coach.
No!
All right, we're going to hit the highlights. We're going to hit each other, and we're going to hit the highlights of this Boston Herald piece from Karen Garigian and Andrew Callahan. And we're also going to look at, because we just talked to Karen about this, what does Bill O'Brien have to do to mend what looks like a rift between the quarterback and the greatest head coach of all time here in Foxborough. We will hit that on the other side right after trending. Oh, it's a fun Thursday. We're with you for about another half hour or so here on WEEI, talking about this Boston Herald article all about the most dysfunctional season ever under Bill Belichick. Before we get to Bill and Mac and where they stand, that relationship, let's hit some phones. Let's go to Tony in Bridgewater. Tony, you're on.
Hey, how you guys doing? You know something? Nothing in that article was
groundbreaking to me. Like, the thing I want everyone to remember, don't let Mac Jones off the hook. In any successful company, any business, they'll tell you there's a chain of command, okay? Any office, we've all worked in a place where they hire some guy that's a Stugatz. We all know it. But you don't start barking like the way he barked. And that's why he was in the doghouse with Belichick. This guy gets off the hook for a lot of stuff, and I know it was dysfunctional this year, but, you know, the passes, some of the passes he missed and some of his decisions that he made, and then squawking about it, it doesn't sit well with me. I don't know how you guys feel, but he's getting a free ride here.
Thanks, yeah. Tony.
He's not getting a free ride with everyone. Some people are, in my opinion, going the other direction, overly critical. I actually think he held it together pretty well for months and months, April, May, June, July, August, September.
How would any of us respond?
I would not have handled it well.
Now,
how would Billy O'Brien have responded?
Pretty super
the teapot.
Calm. Yeah, the teapot. Think about it. You're not just talking about any normal person. You're talking about an alpha male who's a professional athlete. You're now talking about someone whose nickname is McEnroe Jones for his penchant for flying off the handle. And you're talking about somebody who has clearly in his sights, in addition to making a name for himself in the National Football League and a lot of money locally, the opportunity to probably get $200 million. And he's watching that get flushed down the house toilet.
He also,
this scheme,
went from, I'm going to say, if you put together a list of offensive coordinators from the 2000s, let's just say, Josh McDaniels would be a top 10 offensive coordinator from the 2000s. To the worst offensive coordinator he could ever have because the guy's not an offensive coordinator. He went from the penthouse to the outhouse immediately, like that. How he, I don't understand all these people. I mean, these people are all pushovers. Tony's got to be a pushover. No matter what happens in his work, they bring somebody in above me, I keep my mouth shut. Nope. I just keep my mouth shut, do my job. Even though that guy's crapping all over me, making my job. I get home now at midnight. Used to get home at 6 o'clock. Now I get home at midnight because the guy they brought in doesn't know how to do his job, and he hurts my job. He hinders my ability to do my job. You're just going to take it? You're not going to lose your cool 5-6 months in? Obviously you would. Everybody would.
How about if you, you know, as because somewhat of that guy, you get hurt at work, and then you can't do your job for 4 weeks, and then someone else comes in and starts doing your job.
Better than
and
you.
And everybody around goes, I love this guy.
Ooh, right. My ankles.
Let's have this guy do the job from now on.
I mean, it was almost like Mac Jones got punked this year. This was an episode, a season-long episode of Punked.
But no Ashton Kutcher with the camera crew.
And no laughing at the end.
Nope.
There was never laughter.
Well, there might be laughing from him today.
I don't think so, because, like, maybe a little bit, but he didn't want to waste a year.
No.
He can't laugh until he gets a $200 million contract. They're a playoff team. Like, they're competing for Super Bowls. Then maybe you can look back and like, hey, Bill, I love you, man. That was, remember that one year where you really screwed us?
Or effed us.
Effed us. Or effed up.
Effed up.
Effed up.
Belichick, effed us or effed up. Next.
617-779-7937. Here's George and Winthrop.
Yeah, listen, I you know something, after hearing everything that's happened, I think it's a miracle that they went 8-9.
Yes.
And could have been better with a couple of breaks, okay? It's amazing. I think Belichick, you ever try to do something for a friend or whatever, you know? And you end up, it's the wrong thing, but you try to help a friend out. And the last point I want to make, could it be that Belichick wanted Bill O'Brien to be his offensive coordinator, and he had another year at Alabama, and he says, well, I'll give it to these two guys for a year, and then we'll see what happens.
Yes, that could be possible. I mean, that's been brought up by a lot of people. But what about this year? Well, I'll wait for Bill and see what happens. Like, see what happens. If I'm Robert Kraft and you're running my $5-point-whatever-billion-dollar franchise with, see what happens. Does that float?
Kraft, who just said before this season, who said three years without a playoff.
Now four.
A playoff win.
Yeah.
And then Bill's going to say, well, you got to wait until next year because this year's a wash.
Well, you told me the Newton year was a wash. You told me that was a reset year. How many reset years we have around here? Every other year is a reset year? You know what? It's almost time to reset. The guy was resetting.
Quick departure, a little bit of information from Jeff Howe of The Athletic, a local guy as well. He tweeted, new offensive coordinator Bill O'Brien almost certainly won't be the only addition to the Patriots coaching staff. Sounds like O'Brien will have input in more additions on offense.
Jeff Howe of The Athletic.
He'll be able to bring in a few of his own guys.
Or just have say. And I think we need that.
Like, he'll have input in more additions on offense.
Yeah, I don't know who his guys are necessarily from Houston or from Alabama. Because remember, Saban's down on that. You don't raid my staff and you go somewhere else. So I doubt it'll be too much from Alabama. But, I mean, I think that was somewhat obvious. We have Nick Caley kind of hanging in the breeze here. I don't know. He didn't get the Jets job. That went to Hackett. He's not at the Shrine Bowl with the bulk of the Patriots coaching staff that would seem to be returning. So it looks like Nick Caley is out. So you need an offense. I mean, you need a tight ends coach. The offensive line coach was Matt Patricia, who don't know exactly what his status is, but I would assume he's not coaching the offensive line this year. So you need probably one there to at least work with Billy Yates and or take Billy Yates' job. Nick Sirianni. Why can't
I? Sirianni, he's in Philadelphia.
Brandon Bean.
As Gronk calls
him. I hate you all.
Sirianni.
No, who's the running backs coach?
Vinny Sanseri.
Shane Spikeman.
Would you really like nice. Vinny Sanseri and Nick Sirianni? Very similar.
Yeah, close enough-ish.
Okay.
Okay, anyway, before we talk about every possible coach who could be hired or fired.
Their offense is the real deal, led by head coach Nick Sirianni and offensive coordinator Shane Spikeman.
Sometimes names are hard.
It's the new logo. Jumpman meets Spikeman.
The one coach we know for sure that will be there is Bill O'Brien. And you asked Karen about the relationship between Mac and Joe Judge, because the bulk of this reporting, I would say, on relationships with Mac and other coaches was what a pain in the rear end Joe Judge was.
Yes. Mm.
Through training camp to the season, to the point that he got phased out in October. A couple quotes from this story from the Herald. One source said Mac didn't like him and then added at all. Someone else said Judge would speak extra loudly in meetings, trying to project like he was the guy. And I think that kind of rubbed people the wrong way. A third source added a lot of people were frustrated with Judge. And so you asked Karen Garigian when she was on here about an hour ago, talking about the reporting behind the scenes about that relationship. She kind of pivoted to the workload that Bill O'Brien is taking on coming into this job.
I think there might have to be some fence mending, and I think Bill O'Brien is going to probably be a big part of that, instrumental in that. I mean, there's so many things now that Bill O'Brien is going to have to do, and one is to kind of recapture and regain the trust of the players, but just the fact that he is well established as an offensive play caller and offensive coordinator and quarterback coach, obviously he has the credentials, whereas the other two didn't. So, you know, that will help. But, I mean, Mac was broken, basically, during the year. And he's going to have to repair his confidence. And I think he's going to have to kind of patch a relationship between Mac and Coach Belichick, because it seemed pretty obvious to us during the year that Coach Belichick wasn't exactly pleased with Mac and how he was handling the situation.
So those are just a couple of tasks that Bill O'Brien has to take on. Mac was broken. He has to fix his confidence. Also, apparently Bill O'Brien has to work towards mending fences between Bill Belichick and Mac Jones, because it's apparent to everybody who was on the Patriots beat, according to Karen Garigian, that it wasn't so warm and fuzzy towards the end down there.
And that's the interesting part to me. I don't think Bill O'Brien will have any problem getting more out of Mac, the quarterback, physically. But
certainly than this year.
Right. But now he has to, first of all, it's a little presumptuous on his part. So, hey, Bill, I need you in here for a minute. Mac, you sit down. Bill, you sit down. Now you two talk to each other.
Wait, he's Billy run O'Brien a beer is summit? Doing this?
Yeah, that's what I'm, like, Karen is saying
that's
that.
That's what Karen's insinuated.
The teapot is going to be the peacemaker?
Right. He's the peacemaker in Bill Belichick's building at Gillette Stadium? Like, he just walks in? Oh, I've been here a week again for the second time. That's hard for me to envision, and it's hard for me to envision Bill Belichick playing along with that little scenario. Like, That's
not how that's a tall work. Task. That's not how that's going
to
work.
Well, maybe it's something more behind the scenes where Billy O'Brien, I'm just trying to work this out in real time. Billy O'Brien is going to Mac and saying, like, there's a lot of reasons to trust Bill Belichick, Mac.
Yeah, that's what I feel like.
I know we burned you last year, but here's a nice story about when Bill was being real cool and doing cool stuff for Tom Brady, and he could do this for you.
And vice versa, going to Bill and being like, it's amazing how much Mac likes you and respects you and thinks you're the greatest coach. I couldn't believe he just offered it up to me out of nowhere and wrote me notes about how great a coach you are.
Mac, the truth is, he's just really intimidated and impressed by you at this
right.
point.
But you're great.
He's too self-conscious yeah. to say it out loud.
And hopefully you don't need that, right? Like maybe it can
sounds
just
like
be,
they need it.
No, they needed it.
No, they need relationship counseling. They need couples therapy.
You think that Bill Belichick's going to go to couples therapy? And Billy O'Brien, the teapot, is the therapist?
Nope.
Like, what the hell is going on here?
He doesn't want to be involved in that.
I'm hoping they handle this the way I handle things in my personal life. Like, time heals all wounds. Just move on. Like, just forget about it.
Bury it deeper and deeper and deeper.
Exactly. We don't talk about it.
The volcano erupts.
Absolutely. We don't talk about it. We just move on. That's what I think Bill Belichick and Mac Jones need to do, and I think it could work.
It's very healthy.
Let's hit the phones real quick. 617-779-7937. Eric on the South Shore. Eric, what's going on?
I really cannot believe all the Mac Jones apologists. The kid is not good.
Baby, I've been here all season.
He's a typical Alabama quarterback that in college was surrounded by unbelievable talent,
like
and nothing
Hurts?
Translates to the pro. Nothing. Can you tell me anything that he has done well?
Well,
since 2000. Listen to me for a second.
You asked a question, and I started to answer, and you told me to stop talking.
I don't know what he was doing in 2000.
Since 2000, the Patriots have had the best offensive coordinator situation in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And then you have a player like Derek Carr, who has had five different head coaches since he's been in the league in 2014. Yet somehow he's found a way to throw for 5,000 yards, 40 touchdowns. The Oakland Raiders have been the worst situation in football. And Mac
nope.
Jones comes into the NFL. What do you mean, no? Mac
did
Jones
he have a Did he have a defensive coach and a special teams coach as his primary coaches? You show me that season where Derek Carr threw for 5,000 yards with a defensive coordinator calling plays.
So last year, Mac Jones had Josh McDaniels, and they lost 4 out of 5, and he was trash. He was absolute trash.
He wasn't trash. That has become a talking point. He was not trash. He was a rookie quarterback who faded in a rookie season. Damnedest thing. Feels like it happens to everyone. And then year two was an absolute poop show.
Derek Carr mm-hmm. is the greatest quarterback. He throws 5,000 yards every season, and it doesn't matter who his coaches are.
Why do people hate
Was that
hate
David
Mac?
Carr?
No. Why do people hate Mac? Why is the anima? Is it because you can't? You know what this is a little bit of? They can't blame Bill. Just like we had Mike Rodak on talking about how Billy O'Brien took the anger from Alabama fans,
Crimson Tide,
because you can't
criticize
the Gatto football Saban.
Hail Saban,
right? Even though the defense was giving up 50 plus while they were losing games, can't criticize Saban. So we go down the rung. Oh, that Billy O'Brien guy. We can rip him for a while because the offense is like two spots lower than it was the year before, despite the fact they have no receivers to speak of to go in the first round like they did for years. Mac Jones is becoming the whipping boy because you can't criticize Bill for a lot of these people.
The
your
kid
people.
Is no. not good.
But the guy goes, what has Mac Jones ever done? And I start to talk. Let me speak. He says, like, wait a minute. You asked me a question. That's how this works. You ask a question. I answer.
He's no Derek Carr.
Like, what are we doing? And again, we said this, I think, off air. I don't really like Mac Jones. I don't really think Mac Jones is going to be a great franchise quarterback. But you have to be reasonable in your assessment.
I just want to say you said that. We didn't say that.
No, but we talked about it off air. You noted the interesting that I turn into some Mac apologist because I'm pushing back against idiocy.
You're defending him.
My guess is, at best, he's a bottom half of the NFL starting quarterback, at best.
Mac Jones?
Yes.
I don't think that's his at best.
I don't think that's his ceiling.
His ceiling to me is like 10 to 12 if he plays his absolute best. And he can finish somewhere in the 20s. Look, he's not going to play better than the top six of the AFC anytime soon.
No. But generally, when you're in the 10 to 12 range, you have a year. But you also have a year where it all hits and you have Julio Jones has a great year. And all of a sudden, you're like a top three quarterback for that year.
We're getting Julio Jones?
not anymore. We don't want that anymore. But you know my point. If you're dangling in that 10 area, when everything comes together, maybe like they draft the right receiver and the right veteran this and the scheme just works and the opponents work and it all comes together, you have like a top five or type season. Do you think he's capable of that? Any given year, just having a top five, like, he wowed me. He threw for 4,800 yards. He threw 30-plus touchdowns. He threw 7 interceptions. They were great. Is he capable of that?
Maybe at best.
Yeah,
More likely than not. I'm with you. Or as Wells report, more probable than not.
But he doesn't stink.
More probably not.
Well, Andy, I do think that, you know, a lot of people also probably come down to the point of, you have the greatest coach of all time, so why can't you be a better quarterback?
Maybe you don't have the greatest coach of all time anymore.
Well, he once was.
Once was. Out.
Where did the knowledge go?
Now he's about to be 70. You said he wasn't using the right part of his brain.
No, I said that I think he wasn't tapping into. He didn't have to for years.
Or maybe
my
he's
point.
Lost his fastball. He's 71. It's okay.
Oh, is now Tom Brady, we're becoming ageists.
No, but is Tom Brady as good as he was?
He's still pretty damn good.
No, he's not. He did not have a great year. He wasn't good. Aaron Rodgers, is he as good as he was? No,
that's different. You're talking about physical ability.
You are just
decision making is part of aging. Your brain doesn't work quite as well. Old people, they take your car keys away. I know it's the cliche.
I know plenty of young people make dumb decisions.
Yeah, I know plenty of people that make decisions based on other things.
They bought a Subaru.
Some people. What?
Yeah, no.
Well, there goes that sponsorship. Yeah, I don't think you'll be doing that live read anytime
soon. It's not
going
to be a Subaru summer. Thanks, Andy. You know what? Before you lose more sponsors for us, we're going to break. When we come back, we see your calls lined up. How are you feeling about the future of Mac and Bill Belichick together with Billy O'Brien, hopefully mending that fence after reading that Boston Herald article from Karen Garrigan and Andrew Callahan? We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back to WEEI. Talking Patriots. Crazy story in the Boston Herald about how everything went down behind the scenes this season. Let's rip through some of your calls here. We'll start with Cody on the Cape. Cody, you're on.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's up, buddy?
I just want to say I love your show. Mego, you've been great since you've been on. And I love Arcan, too. I know he's gone, but he did a great job. But
he'll be back. Don't worry.
In my opinion, he's gone. Just like so unsolicited. If you really look at Tom Brady's career and you look at if you took Romeo Crennel and tried to make him run the offense after 2001, what would that look like after coming from Charlie Weiss? Like, you've given him no materials to like do anything. His frustration is what we should be like conveying, like our frustration on like the offensive coordinator, our horrible receivers. Like, Myers is our number one receiver. That's a joke. There's not a single team in the NFL where Myers is your best player.
Thanks, Cody. A lot of opinions there. Mm. Kind of rough Jacoby catching strays, though. I mean, he did everything he could. I understand what he's saying.
He's not a number one.
You know, don't call him a joke.
He might be a number one on the New York Giants.
Myers?
Yeah.
He'd be a number one receiver on at least four or five teams. Tops. Gotta get 3.5.
Yeah, I'll take the under on the 4-5. But the point is accurate. If you had made Romeo Crennel Tom Brady's offensive coordinator for the 2002 season, I think it would have been a train wreck. And I love Romeo Crennel.
Yeah, they didn't go with Dean Pease in 2010 after, you know, they went to Bill O'Brien, someone who had actually called it before.
Yes, that's kind of how it works.
Let's go to Dave in the car. Dave, you're on.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Super.
What's up?
Dave.
Hey, wondering if one of Belichick's questions to O'Brien is, do you think we can win with Mac?
Do you, like, you mean like in the interview process? Yes, I think that Mac was discussed and what the upside of Mac is. Yes, I absolutely think that had to have been discussed.
Isn't that maybe the number one question?
Should
what
be.
Do you think we have with
and
the
not
kid
just
here?
With Bill O'Brien, I think with
anybody.
All,
we speculated that was the first question at all the interviews.
And it should be. And so I'm guessing, so what's your point? Is he gone?
I dropped him. Sorry.
Damn it.
It's quick.
I think he's curious about how much Mac is the priority and if they are still trying to figure out, you know, if he is the guy or if this is just...
Do you think the hire was hingent upon that?
Well, also, don't you think that Belichick... I don't know if that's a word.
No,
that
I'm making Belichick, it up. I want it to be a word.
That Belichick really values O'Brien's opinion on this kind of thing.
So, but my point is, if O'Brien said, yeah, Mac's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I went through all his tape from Alabama. I've talked to him. I saw what he did with you guys. Mac's the guy. Is that, what if Bill doesn't think he's the guy?
Yeah, he's like,
what was the answer?
Wrong answer.
Right, that's my point.
I hope you like mm-hmm. Bailey Zappi.
Or if he said, well, Bill, let's be honest. It's an athletic players league. We need more athleticism at the position. He's not the guy.
So the answer to you is whatever Bill's already thinking. That he'll agree with.
It's, I mean, he hired him immediately.
Yeah.
Unless he wants him to oversee the transition. He's like, whoa, if we change quarterbacks again, I really need a good offensive coordinator. That's even more of a premium value job. But it is interesting. Now, Mike, like, don't you think that this is a make or break year for Matt?
Oh, absolutely.
This is his year.
Absolutely.
You gave him a guy.
Yes.
No more complaints. No more hissy fits. We'll try to upgrade talent. We'll figure that out on the fly over the next couple months with cap room and trades or whatever. I just saw a nice Photoshop of DeAndre Hopkins in a Patriots uniform on Twitter. Mm. Who knows whether that happens
or
not.
Are you sure he wasn't at the Hertz counter somewhere?
No, this was
at the airport.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, it's
could have been.
There's the music. All right. Sorry, guys. Call back in tomorrow. It's almost end of show with Ryan.
Yes, it is the almost end of the show, which is sponsored by Cars for Kids. The easy way to donate your car. Donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Call 877-CARS-4KIDS today or donate online at carsforkids.org. And remember, that is always cars spelled with a K. I would like to wish a very happy 89th birthday to the living legend himself, Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker.
Just a bit outside.
Bob Uecker is allegedly a very, very funny man. I've heard so many Bob Uecker stories. Most I can't do on the air. But I would like to turn this over to the late, great Norm MacDonald, who was on David Letterman's show a couple years ago and told this story about one of my all-time favorites, Bob Uecker.
Bob is a very, very funny man, and I often go in the booth with him, you know.
Oh, sure.
So one time we were there, and John Fogerty was in the audience. Mm-hmm. You know, a fortunate son, you know. So John Fogerty was there, so... Bob Uecker is a very interesting guy. He thinks of everybody as the same. He doesn't think of people as stars or anything like that. He's a very down-to-earth guy. So he was talking to me. He says, hey, man, you know that guy? I go, yeah. He goes, that's John Fogerty, rock and roll singer. So I go, yeah, yeah, I know who it is. He goes, yeah, man. He goes, but I played in a golf tournament with him. He goes, you probably think of him as some that likes to bite the heads off of chickens, but this guy can...
That's exactly how I think of him.
This guy can get it out of the sand trap like nobody's business. So he goes, he's got a hell of a set of pipes on him. He goes, come the seventh inning stretch, I'll have him up here. He'll sing for you. So I said, no, Bob, don't do that. Like, don't have him come up and sing for me, please, you know. He goes, what's the matter, man? Don't you even know who he is? He got all mad. So I go, yes, Bob, I know who he is. He did Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, he did all that.
It's a lot of bleeps.
That's Norm MacDonald. You know what? Because that's Bob
Norm,
Uecker.
Too. Right.
Yeah, rest in peace, Norm MacDonald. Artie Lang tells a great story about Bob Uecker on the old Howard Stern show. I recommend you give it a listen because I couldn't do anything with it.
Norm MacDonald is an absolute legend. R.I.P.
Is that everything we have, Ryan?
Oh, no. No, okay. It's not. Now, a few things make me happy in this world, unlike a great rant from the one Chris Mad Dog Russo.
Belichick!
And by the way, I think there's a reunion happening on ESPN in a week or so.
First take, baby.
Mike
next
Francesa,
week.
Chris Mad Dog Russo, who
Dog.
Shaped, the was part of the formative lives for a lot of sports talk listeners. Little before my time, but I really do enjoy Chris Mad Dog Russo. Well, those guys were interviewing Mel Kiper yesterday. Obviously, draft is coming up soon. We got to talk to Mel Kiper, one of the foremost experts on who's coming out, who's getting drafted where. But I would also like if we could start working this particular verbiage into our lexicon, according to Chris Mad Dog Russo, the draft what?
Mel, get him, Mel. How about last thing? How about the number one pick with the Bears? A, there's quarterbacks available. Who knows on Fields? He hasn't shown he can throw from the pocket yet. That's the first thing. Second thing, so if you love Fields, do you trade down to help your draft booty and, you know, take more picks? Or number three, do you think the Georgia quarterback is so great? I used the wrong word here. The Georgia quarterback is happened. So great. I used, look at him laugh again.
What happened?
Can I finish the interview? Can I finish the question?
What you meant.
Well, you know, capital, draft, all the stuff you get with the draft and everything else, assets, picks. Like
why did you
say that? I don't know. It came to me. Stupid. Anyway, Mel. Anyway. Can I ask a question? What are you laughing
at? Yeah, ask your question.
Can I ask
with
a question?
With draft booty. I just don't get draft booty.
Would you, if you're the Bears, would you draft the Georgia defensive lineman who did nothing, by the way, against...
Okay, thank you, Mad Dog. Draft booty? I'm all for it.
I get what he's saying.
Yeah. Now, you know who,
like your treasure chest.
Pirates have a booty, don't they?
You know who used to go there all the time? Wiggy. Wiggy used to go to draft booty.
Draft booty?
Oh,
get the wings.
He's got lemon pepper.
They're
Mad Dog biting
good.
Wiggy style.
All right, Ryan, thank you so
much. Yes, that was the end of the show. We are now at the end of the show. Rich Keefe, coming up next.
Yep, tune in. Thank you to Tommy Curran. Thank you to Karen Garigian. And thank you, Andy and Fitzy. We will be back tomorrow at 2. Till then, listen to Keefe.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.